Hey, hey, party people. Welcome to Fearlessly Becoming. I'm Stephanie, and today's episode is going to be short-ish, but she's fiery because, y'all, it's Independence Day weekend. But this time, we're going to be talking about a different kind of freedom, the kind that doesn't necessarily come with fireworks, but rather with breaking free from the patterns that quietly keep us stuck. For me, one of those patterns has looked like constantly seeking my quote-unquote person by chasing connection and validation outside of myself while subconsciously, and maybe sometimes consciously, choosing emotionally unavailable men as a way to protect my heart from truly being hurt and from fully being seen. And just saying that out loud, you guys, that does not feel great. This is great. This is going to be great. This is going to be great. In this episode, I'm going to walk through what it looked like to recognize that pattern, how to begin shifting patterns, and why choosing yourself is the most liberating move of all. So light the damn sparklers. Let's get into it. Okay, before we get into the main topic for today, we're actually going to kick things off with a history lesson. You're welcome. Thanks for tuning in. Don't skip, don't pause, don't mute, just hang tight. It'll be short, it'll be brief. And you may not actually know this, but I started as a history major in college. Total nerd alert. I was genuinely fascinated with the stories of the past and how events really shaped who we are now. And watching history repeat itself is also really fascinating. So as we roll into the 4th of July weekend, I just couldn't resist my nerd urge to take us back for a second to 1776. Because here's the thing. America's independence wasn't just one big fucking party with fireworks. It was messy and complicated and really a necessary act of rebellion. It was about saying, this structure no longer serves us. And having the guts to build something new. If you've ever found yourself stuck in a cycle, whether it's chasing the wrong people, believing you're not enough, or repeating patterns that don't reflect who you really are, you know the fight for personal freedom is just as real. So as we look back on 1776, the initial battles of the Revolutionary War actually started in 1775. And there were few colonists who truly desired complete independence from Great Britain. And those who did were considered extremely radical. However, by the middle of the following year, many more colonists had come to favor independence thanks to the growing hostility against Britain and the spread of revolutionary sentiments, such as those that were expressed in one of the best-selling pamphlets, Common Sense, that was published by Thomas Paine in early 1776. On June 7th, the Continental Congress met at the Pennsylvania State House in Philadelphia, where the Virginia delegate Richard Henry Lee introduced a motion calling for the colony's independence. It was a heated debate, and Congress postponed the vote on Lee's resolution, but appointed a five-man committee that included Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, Roger Sherman, Benjamin Franklin, and Robert Livingston to draft a formal statement that would justify the break with Great Britain. On July 2nd, the Continental Congress got back together. They voted in favor of Lee's resolution for independence in a near unanimous vote. And then on July 4th, they adopted the Declaration of Independence, which had been written largely by Thomas Jefferson. So even though the vote for the actual independence took place on July 2nd, from then on, July 4th became the day that was celebrated as the birth of American independence. All of that sounds so lovely and so smooth, but the Revolutionary War that started in 1775, the year before the Declaration of Independence, did not end until 1783. So you've got nearly 8 years of a war, seven of which took place after the United States declared its own independence. So when we think about bringing that down to an individual level, while we may not be a colony of 13 states or now 50 states, as an individual, it is still a process. Once you declare independence from something or freedom from something or a boundary around something, doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to take effect immediately. It's going to take work. It's going to take implementation. It's going to take a fight and choices every single day to stay aligned to that. So that's what we're really going to focus on in this episode. We're going to dive into what it looks like to claim your own independence, not from the monarchy, but from the mental narratives, the emotional habits, and the internal stories that might keep us playing small. Because guess what? Becoming is a revolution too. And speaking of revolutions, let's talk about one of my own. Something that I have really been working on and through reflection have identified a little bit of a pattern that I've been repeating, really centered on relationships and seeking my person and really finding myself in a place where I finally feel grounded and centered and aligned and really ready for that relationship to enter my life. Now, here comes the fun part. The pattern that I seem to find myself stuck in is one of where I am seeking and constantly looking for that person, and also constantly seeking and looking for that validation and to be chosen. And oftentimes it is seeking individuals who are not available emotionally, mentally, whatever the case might be. And I would get frustrated and disappointed and think, oh, I'm never going to find them. It's never going to happen. When in reality, I was setting myself up for those situations to take place. When I really reflect on it, it comes from a place of protection and safety and guarding my heart so that I can't get hurt. And I'm also not fully seen, because that feels safest to me. Because one of the narratives that I had and sometimes still have in my head is only the good parts, quote unquote, good parts of me are worthy of being loved and worthy of being seen. That the parts of me that I may not love, if I don't love them, why would anybody else? So let's just pack those away and only show the super shiny, the super fun, the super outgoing pieces, because that's what people like. That's what they enjoy. Not the whole thing, but the picking and choosing of the fun parts. Recognizing this pattern was through a lot of work and a lot of reflection and me identifying it and seeing it, but also having good friends who will call me on it and also hold me accountable to it. And those of you that are listening, you know who you are. Thank you so much. I love you and I hate you at the same time. Because sometimes it's not easy to recognize those patterns in ourselves, or sometimes it is easy to recognize those patterns, but we don't want to face it. So we pretend like it's not happening until somebody else comes along and helps you see it from a different perspective. So through this process, I really started with the reflection. And again, I don't think I have this one fully figured out or fully implemented, but God damn it, I'm going to declare it and we are going to do our best to see it through. during that reflection period, one of the biggest realizations that I had was I have not only initiated every relationship I've been in, but I've also ended every relationship that I've been in, with the exception of one, who was my very first boyfriend in ninth grade. He was wildly popular, and I very much was not. So when he asked me to be his girlfriend, I was honestly quite shocked. And I didn't know how to be in a relationship. I grew up in a house where boys were not exactly dinner table conversation. That was not something that we openly discussed or talked about. So we never really had a relationship. And when he ended things, I was crushed. Looking back now, I think that's one of those moments where a seed was planted. That if I kept my guard up and if I ended things before they got too deep, or if I engage with someone I know is not emotionally available or whatever the case, then I can stay safe. It's protection disguised as control. And not just romantic relationships, right? If I think about friendships or professional colleagues or opportunities in a professional setting for promotions, that feeling of not being chosen, if friendships come and go, or if friends become closer without me, there's that feeling of, oh, well, I wasn't chosen. I must not have been worthy. When in reality, I had not been choosing myself. I was not choosing myself. I was constantly looking outward for love and affection and attention and validation instead of really spending time with myself and learning to love myself, all the pieces, at which point then I don't have to worry about somebody picking me, somebody choosing me. The desire to be chosen, she's strong. Okay. So she's still in there. It is figuring out now how to navigate that. And step one is acknowledging and recognizing. Then comes the navigating. And in full transparency, y'all, I am still navigating this. This is not something that I have completely figured out, and I'm here to share all of my nuggets of wisdom so that you don't have to go through it either. It is something that I am actively working on. Just in the last couple of weeks, I've had some great conversations with some great friends who are so helpful in sharing their opinions. And the number of times that I have heard, you need to stop looking. Stephanie, you need to stop looking. The minute you stop looking, that's when they're going to enter your life. It's when you least expect it. And I'm like, me. Because I know that, right? Like, I know that. The more you look for something and you want it and you try and control it, the less likely it's going to find its way because you're trying to be too specific and trying to control the situation to make it work the way that you think it's going to, that if you just let go of control and you stop worrying about it and obsessing over it and looking at really hot men's fingers to see if they are married. These are things that I have done. When you step back, that's when you create space for things to happen. Even if you know that, with whatever it is you might be working through, sometimes it's helpful to get that reminder from people in your life, because sometimes hearing it from outside your brain somehow hits different. And so thank you so much to those friends who reminded me. When we think about how to recognize patterns or patterns that you may not want to repeat, here are some questions or some reflection prompts, because guess what? This isn't just about me, y'all. This is about you too. You are tuning in And I am sure that there is something that has risen to the top of your brain as you've been listening, and we're going to make a declaration together. So here are some questions just to noodle on as you are either driving or cleaning your house in preparation for the holiday. What am I constantly chasing? And what feeling do I hope that it gives me? Where do I feel stuck? And what am I repeating? What stories am I telling myself about love, worth, or relationships? What part of me might actually be benefiting from being stuck? Is it protection, safety, control? And this is the one that you might want to sit with for a while, and is one that I still revisit. Is who was I when this pattern began? And what did I need? Who was I when this pattern began? And what did I need? For a lot of us, that's going to take us back to that inner child who has all kinds of stories and all kinds of narratives that are stockpiled and ready to go. Until we take the time to go back and talk to that inner child, or at least acknowledge that inner child, we might stay stuck. And by going back to who you were when these patterns started, and maybe they're patterns that started when you were an adult, whatever it is that you are feeling tired from, exhausted from, overwhelmed by, spend some time on it and really think about what you needed at that point when those patterns started to be created. So this is my declaration for Independence Day. I'm going to pause instead of pursue. I'm going to get curious about my inner child and her need for that affirmation and that validation, and letting the loneliness that I feel be a teacher and not a trap. Because while I might recognize the patterns, reflect on the patterns, that does not diminish the moments of loneliness that creep in. And they can come in quietly. They can sometimes come in unexpectedly, but they're very real. And part of me, I think, to avoid those moments of loneliness is to distract myself with people that I know will not choose me, because then I don't have to sit in the loneliness, and my heart gets to stay protected, and my whole self doesn't have to be seen. So it's like a win-win-win until I actually want to find somebody. That makes it very difficult to do. So that's my declaration, is I'm going to pause instead of pursue. I was actually just talking to a good friend of mine last night. About a month ago, I went to Sedona, Arizona, and went on these beautiful hikes, and I was wanting these big magical experiences and clarity and all of these wonderful things to come out of it. And it was lovely, but it wasn't how I envisioned it to be. And after one of the most challenging hikes that I've ever done, I got back down and did a little meditation and was journaling, and this whole voice came through in my head. It was just saying, like, stop seeking magical experiences. Stop seeking people to choose you. Like, you are the magic. You are the power. You are your hero. You are the love of your life. Anything that you do, anybody that you meet, you are creating the magic in those moments. That's where the magic lives. I know that that is not revolutionary, right? That's not like, oh, I had never thought of that. But just hearing that, it was served as a great reminder of who I am and what I'm capable of. And let that serve as a reminder for you too. You are the power. You are the magic. All of that resides within you. Anything that you do, anybody that you meet, that's the magic. So with my declaration of the pause, not pursue, it's also that inward reflection and time with myself to remember who the fuck I am, right? Like, we're incredible people, and that's okay to say. So remember that about yourself as well. Here are some tools and takeaways, right? Because like I said, this is not just me We're doing this together. We in it together, friends. Whether you journal or you don't journal, that's fine. But here is something to walk away with. Type it in your phone, write it in your journal, type it in your computer, tell it to a friend. Tell me. I'm here for it. What are you declaring freedom from this season? What pattern are you tired of repeating? What energy is draining for you? What is it that you are going to declare freedom from for yourself? And here's an idea as an action, because I'm a big fan of taking action so that the universe sees you doing the thing. You could write a breakup letter for the pattern. Be like, listen, love you. Thank you for what you did, but I don't need you anymore. Like, whatever it is, rip it up, light it up, put it on a firework, send it to the sky, whatever you need to do. That's an idea as a very simple and easy way to ingrain it into your brain and have it be tangible. And then here's a mantra that we can all use is, I do not chase, I align. And what is meant for me knows where the fuck to find me. I do not chase, I align. We are magnets. It is coming to us. So circling all the way back to where we kicked things off in this episode with our little history lesson, declaring independence is not an overnight thing. It takes time, it takes intention, and it honestly takes a hell of a lot of courage. Breaking free from the patterns that hold us back is no different. Just like our forefathers did in 1776, you get to decide what freedom looks like for you. What are your non-negotiables? What would you write in your own personal constitution? Because you, my friend, are worthy of a life that aligns with who you truly are. And here's our quote from our bestie Ted Lasso to close things down today. You deserve someone who makes you feel like you've been struck by lightning. Don't you dare settle for fine. Whether you're declaration is relationship oriented or not. Regardless, don't you dare settle for fine in any capacity of your life. Whatever it is, the pattern that you're looking at or exploring, the mindset, the energy, whatever it is, don't settle for fine. Remember who you are, what you're capable of, and what you bring. This weekend, while you are eating your watermelon and dodging the bottle rockets, just take a moment to reflect on the ways that you are becoming free. Not perfect, just freer than you were. And by all means, my friends, do not light fireworks while you are holding them in your hands. Okay? There's my PSA. Until next time, be kind to yourself. You deserve it.